Have a lot of verses that we, so I printed some out. I printed them out kind of in the order that we have them. And so if people want to look on, you know, so you don't have to be writing.
Do you have enough copies?
I made 6 copies. I can bring more tomorrow if people want.
We can share.
We think probably for this group, most everybody knows the verses anyhow. But
if you wanted to go back over it later, or you don't remember.
Well, it's then we want to say what verse was that? Verse was that?
Right.
So our topic is healing and prayer, and we're going to start out with healing at the beginning here.
Could we start out with prayer?
Oh. Well, we are going to do that.
No, I'll pray. I'll just pray for us.
Yeah.
I just want to pray for the time.
Okay, go ahead.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this opportunity that we have to be together. And you know that we don't have opportunities like this very often. I pray that you would presence yourself with us, that you would anoint Brian and Wendy in their words, and that they would sink deep into our hearts. Lord, change us, we pray. In your name.
Amen. So, in keeping with prayer, when Jesus explained how to pray, he started out with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." That's Matthew 6:9. God is working in our world, and each of us is a testament to that. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, that prayer phrase, "Your kingdom come," was expanded on earth. We became part of God's kingdom on earth. We had faith in Jesus. When we come and accept Jesus as our Savior, it is an act of faith. And all believers have that measure of faith. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith." I think each of us are growing in our faith, but I would call that continuing faith. As we walk each day, our faith continues to grow. You are my Savior, but can I trust you in this situation? Can I give it to you and be at peace that you see my need, my family, my job, my finances, my health? Do I believe your word to be true in my life? I know for me that was a recent revelation, that I always believed that Christ died on the cross, but I really struggled with the idea of praying for somebody and seeing them healed, because I prayed for somebody and they didn't get healed. And so I wouldn't say I was unbelieving, but I really wasn't sure I really believed it either, because my experience wasn't such that that was supported. And so when people would ask to pray, "Would you like to pray for somebody?" I felt like, not so much. You know, I didn't want to really be part of that. Let me continue. So, Matthew 4:18. If we could get my Bible out. I didn't print out this particular verse. I know. This is where Jesus is walking along the water, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." And they chose to follow him. What did they see? It happened pretty quick. 4 verses later, Matthew 4:23, "And Jesus went into about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases among the people. And throughout Jesus' ministry, we see this preaching the gospel, healing the sick and diseased, mm-hmm. and deliverance from evil spirits. So then the question comes up, well, Jesus could have just gone in and preached. Well, why did he heal? At least that's the one that comes up in my mind. And part of it was that healing showed his deity. It showed also his character. I'll go to Psalms 145, 8 and 9, where it says, "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies, plural, are over all his works." Mm-hmm. The words compassion and mercy are translated from the same Hebrew word, and they mean the same thing. In other words, to be merciful means to be full of compassion, and that's God's character. So God showed us mercy in making a way for salvation for sinners, but we are told in 2 Corinthians 1:3 that he is the Father of mercies, mercies plural. So what were the mercies that God showed to the children of Israel? For one thing, God's mercies were shown in the wonders and miracles he performed in delivering them out of Egypt, where they had been held captive. And those mercies encompass all the Lord's provisions, including healing. Some of the things that came to my mind was, as they were going through the desert, they got manna. Their clothing didn't wear out. They had no disease. The Lord provided water. So the Lord took care of them through all those things, and those were all mercies. Mm-hmm. Matthew 14:14 says, "And when Jesus went out and he saw a great multitude, he was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick." So we'll find it as you look through the Bible that comes up, that particular phrase comes up quite often with he had compassion for them. Matthew 20:32-33 says, "Behold, two blind men sitting by the road, when they heard that Jesus was passing by, cried out, 'Have mercy on us, O Lord, Son of David.' And Jesus stood still and called them, 'What do you want me to do for you?' 'Lord, that our eyes may be opened.' So Jesus had compassion and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received their sight, and they followed him." Another verse, Mark 1:40, "Now a leper came to him. 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus, moved with mm-hmm. compassion, stretched forth his hand, and he said, 'I am willing.'" God's mercy is just as strong in healing the sick as his mercy is of forgiveness. Just as we have seen people forgiven, we will see people healed.
Okay. So Jesus expected this of his disciples, to preach and to pray for healing. And he sends his followers into the world. In Matthew 10, it says, "And he called to him his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction." And then at verse 7-8, a little bit later, says, "And proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons." Later on, he sent out 70 others. It wasn't just the 12. In Luke 10:1-9, again, he appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead. And he said, "Heal the sick and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.'" So it's not just for the disciples. Jesus prayed for all of his followers in John 17. It says, "And as you sent me into the world, so I send them into the world. And of this he was speaking of us too, because it says, I don't ask for these only, but those who will believe in me through their word. Mm-hmm. And that's us. Mm-hmm. So Jesus was praying for us, and that applies to us sending us out into the world. So why do we pray for healing? Well, the first thing is God says to. He's told us. He sent us out. In James 5:14-16, it says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed sins, he will be forgiven them. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. So it's not just the elders. Everybody is to be praying for the other. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power in its effects. And we also should be praying for healing, especially, because Jesus did. Jesus prayed for healing. He prayed for others to be healed, and we are to be like him. He had compassion in Matthew 14:14. Jesus had just heard about John the Baptist being beheaded, and he went off by himself. And then the crowd followed him, and it said when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And it's a way that we can display Christ's compassion. When we're willing to pray for others. And as Brian said before, the two blind men by the roadside, he had compassion on them. He touched their eyes. And 1 Peter 3, it also says, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous or humble. And one way we can show compassion is to pray for someone when they're suffering. And we give what we have. And what we have is the Lord. And we can pray to our Lord, especially for those who don't believe. You know, the blind men, he prayed for them. They received their sight. They followed him. You know, that. It's a way that we can reach out to others who don't believe. And, you know, you might be the only one to pray for them, the only one to point them to Christ. You know, nobody else may be praying for them. Another reason that we pray is for the building up of the body of Christ. One of the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12 is gifts of healings. And in 1 Corinthians 14, it tells us to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. And then a little further down in that chapter, it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. And so gifts of healing build up the church. It kind of shows God's heart for and his love for us. And 1 Corinthians 12 says, and to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. And
if I can interject there for a second, one of the teachings that we listen to pulls that word manifestation out in Corinthians 12 about how sometimes we get into this idea that to have the gift of healing or the gift of knowledge or the gift of discerning of spirits, it's sort of like a badge that you wear that God gave you. And it's really not that way.
Yeah.
It's more a gifting given for a particular moment for a particular need. And that's why the word manifestation is sort of short. It's not, I've got it now, everybody that comes in, I can heal their back. You know, I've got the gift of healing backs. But that manifestation could be given for healing backs, and it could be that God performs that particular healing throughout that congregation at that time. It could be more than just the one person that you're praying for. Sometimes God expands that to touch other people which have a similar need.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it also builds up faith. You know, if you pray for somebody and they are healed of a hurt back, mm-hmm. then if somebody else says, oh, well, my back hurts too, you're like, well, he did it once, he could do it again. You know, that's mm-hmm. the building up of our faith. Yeah. And one thing that struck me this Easter season was, you know, in 1 Peter it talks about it's by whose stripes we are healed. And Jesus suffered those stripes so that we could be healed. And you know, he didn't necessarily have to be scourged or, you know, to for salvation, but he chose to or allowed that, the stripes. So when we say, oh, healing, he is not interested in healing. I mean, look what he went through so that we could have healing. You know, I don't think that corresponds, you know, to, well, oh, it was just for, you know, for the 70 years the disciples were around, you know, that was why he did that. And when we look at our king, his kingdom come, heaven as it is in heaven on earth, in heaven there's wholeness, there's healing, you know. So
can I share a story I just heard yesterday? I meet with pastors in Poughkeepsie. So after we had our time of prayer and sharing, and then we go to lunch, and we got on this topic of gifts of the Spirit and healing, but also other gifts like gift of tongues. And not all these pastors are in churches that are charismatic, but some of them are in churches where the gifts aren't practiced much, but the pastor believes in them and experienced them. So there's a brother who's a pastor of what used to be River Church, now it's called River Community Church, Pastor Jeff. And he's kind of a regular guy. He works a regular job. He's not like seminary type guy. Mm-hmm. And Marlo Dunham was the pastor there. He's retired. But Marlo would take people from his church to do mission work in Ukraine. So he was on this trip. They went to Ukraine. And the meeting is in Ukrainian, which the guys on the team don't know it. So they have a translator. And the pastor of the Ukrainian church says, well, now we're going to have a healing service. And Brother Jeff here has the gift of healing. Now, that's said in Ukrainian, but the translator translates it into English for Jeff. And Jeff, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, what's this going on? You know, and Marla's there, and he says, oh, this happens all the time. He says, I've learned to just go with it. So he was going to tell the guy, you know, you got my bio wrong. So the first thing happens is a woman walks up and she's like this. She can't mm-hmm. straighten up. And Jeff says to the Lord, Lord, you know, you give me, this is my first case. I mean, like, this one. And
couldn't we start with a hangnail?
And I said, there's the translator is there with him. So he says to the lady, well, what is your problem? She said, well, 6 months ago, I injured my back, and since then I haven't been able to straighten up. So Jeff prays for her, and she straightens halfway up. Mm-hmm. And the translator is praising the Lord and everything, and he says, Jeff says, well, she's better, but not all better. He said, well, let's pray again. And so they prayed again, and she's all the way up, you know. So, you know, she goes away rejoicing. And the whole church goes kind of wild. Now there's a line that's...
Sure.
So then he prayed for people for the next hour, you know, just one after another. Mm-hmm. And the translator said, how long have you had this gift?
About 5 minutes.
About an hour. Now, that goes with what you're saying about the manifestation. It's not that he has a healing ministry. Right. It's just that God is manifesting his compassion through a gift at that moment in time.
So. Right.
Yeah. I kind of had a picture in my head about, kind of like being above the clouds like you are in a plane, you know, but that it as heaven, and then just kind of like funnels going down mm-hmm. to various mm-hmm. times, various places, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. where heaven comes to earth.
Bill saw that once when we were living in Poughkeepsie. Clouds everywhere, and then holes in the clouds, and sunlight streaming through at different uh-huh. places, and that's his mm-hmm. image of that.
Yeah.
It was quite striking because we lived right on the river.
Right. And so I think we're back to you, dear.
Okay.
I just wanted to share one thing, too, about the praying for people, because I had never thought of it, but there was a family that we invited to our home that we didn't know, but somebody had said, there's a family in our church that has kind of your same Christian perspective on things, which is to say their church wasn't particularly Christian paradigm, I can't think of what she called it, framework, that's just a Christian framework, and we had them over, and they had a son who was born very, very too early, and he was in the hospital, and they had just been told the day they came that he was now going to be allowed to be touched. He had been born in November, it was January when they came, and but they didn't think that he would necessarily ever be going home. And we prayed with them, just knowing that much, and they...
And the child wasn't present.
Oh, no.
The child's in the hospital.
In the hospital at Westchester. And we prayed for them, and they told us later that that was the first time they ever had been prayed for, and that they didn't actually know that there was such a thing as a Christian family. That was what they were in their hearts, but they had never seen a Christian family. And that was the angels. And subsequently, Becky prayed very specifically for Luke, and he was healed on very specific days that she prayed. And she was 2 at the time. She was almost 3. But, if you hear the story from them, it's way more dramatic. But, you know, they're an amazing family. Mm-hmm. And the Lord just opened up heaven up and, mm-hmm. and brought life and healing into their family.
I think that, you know, if you look at the scriptures over and over, it says Jesus had compassion and healed. And I think that that's kind of a sign for us. When we feel compassion towards someone, mm-hmm. we should be praying for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Or at least asking them if we can pray for them.
Yeah.
You know? And that compassion is part of the Spirit's move.
Okay.
So, I think you're up.
A man's extremity is God's opportunity.
Yeah.
So I wanted to talk about faith. The role of faith in healing is seen in Scripture in a number of ways. On occasion, the faith of the person needing healing is instrumental. Matthew 9:22. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, he said, "Be of good cheer, daughter, your faith has made you well." While other times, it is the faith of a friend or family member. In Matthew 15:27-28, the Lord says, the occasion is, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table." And then Jesus answered and said to her, "O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Mark 2:4-5 says, "When they could not come near him," Jesus, "they uncovered the roof and let down the bed. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, 'Son, your sins are forgiven you. I say to you, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house.'" And on certain occasions, faith apparently plays no part. John 5, 5 through 9 says, now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, he said, do you want to be made well? And the sick man said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool. And Jesus said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made well. God is sovereign, calling on the elders. God is sovereign. That's you.
That's me. God is sovereign. He heals how he wishes. Sometimes you see the faith of the person, sometimes you see the faith of a friend, and sometimes, you know, it doesn't appear to be any demand for faith there. And he heals as he wishes, and he sees the big picture and knows what's best. And there is no magic formula to make him do what we want, no matter how desperately we want it. Mm. The point is that our trust needs to be in Jesus, our healer, not in faith.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The story of the lame man in the temple that Peter and John mm-hmm. healed, it said Peter saw he had faith to be healed.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't say to him, do you want to be healed or do you have faith?
Right.
He somehow discerned that.
Mm-hmm. And, right.
What did you say again, Wendy? You said that our trust must be in Jesus. In
Jesus, our healer, not in faith.
Right.
Yeah.
Our faith or lack of it doesn't hinder his will.
Not our mm-hmm. faith, okay.
And it doesn't twist his arm. Mm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And it's not a measuring stick by which he decides to heal or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like God sets the threshold at 75%. If you have 75% faith, then you get healed. If you have 74.9, you do not. You know, that's not the way it works. That's not really in line with his character. That's works-based.
Mm-hmm.
That's, if you just gird yourself up in your own force of will, you can believe, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's not, that then you'll be approved. That's not how it works, you know. But he does say in Hebrews 11, 6, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And a little later in 12:2 it says Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith. So, like Brian said before, we have a certain measure of faith given to us for salvation. And and he's going to complete the work that he has begun in our lives. But we need to help it grow as we mature in Christ. Jude 1:20 says, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. One way it grows is through obedience. We feel compassion for someone, we pray for them, and there's healing. And because we obeyed, that grows our faith, you know, because we see results of what our obedience brings. And God is pleased with obedience. You know, he likes obedience, and he delights to see it. So, you know, he will bless it, not to say that every single time you do something, something's going to happen, but the idea is that, you know, that brings delight to him.
I think something does happen, though, every time that we step out in faith and pray for somebody. I think one of the things we don't count necessarily is what's happened on the inside of the person that's been prayed for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because we've shown love to them.
Yeah.
Where they would normally not have that given to them. And there's a response to that love of saying somebody really cares.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important that when we say that we're going to pray for somebody or they give us permission to pray for them, that we actually do. It's not mm-hmm. just, dear Lord, and nobody hears it. It's that something that's audible that says, I'm conveying Christ to you. Because that opens doors, whether or not the person gets healed or not. It could be the door for them to be looking for the Lord also, or to look for community where they can get that same kind of love given to them. And sometimes they realize, geez, I missed that. You know, that there was a something in me going to church that was more than just going and coming. It was that community of people that were like-minded that would show love to me. And then through that, God can work.
Mm-hmm. And we just need to remember that we're called to pray. We're not called to results. The results are in His hands. And then faith also is built by hearing the word of Lord, hearing from Him directly or hearing through the scriptures. Romans 10:17, so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So faith grows as we abide in Christ and we learn to hear and recognize His voice. As we saturate ourselves in the scriptures, then we'll know His character, we'll recognize His voice, and when He's at work, and discern when He's not, when it's not God. And as we hang out with others who do these things, we'll continue to grow in faith. And the Lord gave me a picture, which He always does. but we were just going to bed, and I said, "Ah, oh, this is like coral." He's like, "What?" But if you look at coral, it's this very small, little, tiny animal, and it lives in colonies, and it deposits a little calcium carbonate, and it makes this little cup, and it lives in the cup. And then I think that cup is kind of like faith, you know, that little skeleton, because it builds up their life, you know, and every so often they detach from their base, they add a little more to their base, and they go up a little higher. And, you know, if they just stayed on that original base, that original, if we stay with that original faith that we had to be saved, we need to grow on that, you know. And as we grow, as those little corals add to that base and form a new thing and add to the base and form a new thing, eventually they grow into a reef. And that reef is protection for themselves, but also for others in their colony, which is kind of like the church, you know, and for other things like fish and eels and things like that, you know, that, but that we can't just rest on our saving faith, but the faith may grow slowly, and it may not be something we perceive as, oh, look at that, you know. And it can kind of, just to kind of give an example of kind of the steps that maybe you believe as a believer, you're saved. You have that measure of faith to believe that Jesus died for you and saved you. And then next maybe is just realizing that God can heal. I mean, you read the Bible, you grow and you realize, oh, God heals, you know. And you learn about His goodness and His desire to bless His children. And it just helps your faith to grow. You know, it says in Luke that if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? And each of these steps is like that coral adding on to the foundation of the reef. And each of these steps as we go along pleases God. So it's not like, well, I'm not up here, so, you know, he's not happy with me till I get to here, mm-hmm. you know. Each step that we take in believing, in faith, is pleasing to him. And he really loves to watch us grow and to expand, to test out our new faith. So, you know, once we have the idea that God can heal, and then realizing that it's his desire to heal, to desire to bless his children, and then, you know, we grow a little more, and we say, well, maybe he still heals today, you know, and then we act out on that. Okay, well, I'll pray for you now, because God can still heal you. And sometimes we can get that upbuilding of our faith through others' testimonies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, when we hear, oh, yeah, God prayed for, or he prayed for me, and I have no pain anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it builds, and we have to avoid condemnation, you know, and just keep trusting in the Lord and listening mm-hmm. to him and following his leading, and he will be the finisher of our faith in that as we follow him.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that that struck me is that Coral is connected. They're all connected. All these little things in these little cement cases have a living tissue that connects them, and they share nutrients with one another. And I think that really is how the body works, you know, that we can feed off the faith that others have, you know, and they can benefit from ours as well, you know. And as we're built up, then we provide shelter and strength for others, mm-hmm. inside and outside the church. And but just in kind of summary, true faith glorifies God. It points to him, not how strong our faith is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it says, my confidence is in your word and character, no matter what happens. So.
Mm-hmm. So just say that all again. True faith
glorifies God. It points to him, not how strong our faith is.
Right.
And it says, my confidence is in your word and character, no matter what happens. I think I struggled early on with several friends who, well, Karen being one, you know, when she got sick, she said, Lord, whatever your will is for me, you know, I'm willing. And then, of course, she was not healed of that, and I always struggled with that, especially with people that said, well, you didn't get healed because you didn't have enough faith.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, how could you not have enough faith to just lay in Jesus' arms and say, whatever you want, you know? Mm-hmm. How could that not be enough, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when I was like, Lord, what is this? And then I realized that it's not that cutoff measure. Like, you have to have enough faith to get healed.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we can't put God in a box that says, if I do this and this and this, he's going to heal.
Right.
Or, you know, it just doesn't, we just have to trust him that he's
right.
He's sovereign. You know?
I think sometimes to put the word healing in a box as well. So, I mean, for a Christian, death is the ultimate healing.
Right.
You're going to have a new body, and you're going to be with Christ. And, you know, there's different forms of healing. So, I mean, the body was designed by God, and it heals itself of many things. That doesn't mean that when you pray for somebody and it takes a week for them to get over their cold, that they haven't been healed.
Right.
It's all God working. God works, you know, through physicians and medicine, and all, he created all the stuff that brought all that around as well. So just because there's not a supernatural healing doesn't mean that healing's not going on.
Right.
Yeah.
But there is still supernatural healing that takes place.
Right.
And I think that's, you know, you're right, you know, and God chooses to heal in many different ways. And sometimes the healing that the person needs is not necessarily what they're asking for, but, you know, inner healing or, you know, something that needs to be dealt with, you know. And, you know, Brian, we were talking about, you know, that sometimes when you get praying for healing, other things come up. It could be spiritual things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like the confess your sins in James, too.
Right. Right. And so, you know, we just have to kind of hear his voice and follow his lead.
So another area that the Bible talks about is a verse that talks about is calling on the elders. James 5:14 says, "Is anyone among you sick? Let him call through the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up." Now, I found a testimony on this from a pastor who had written a book, and he says, one Sunday, a couple came to me before the service and asked the elders of the church to anoint their infant son and pray for healing. After the service, we gathered in the back room, and I anointed him with oil. He was only 2 weeks old and had been diagnosed with a serious liver disorder that would require immediate surgery, perhaps even a transplant, if something didn't change. And as we prayed, something unusual happened. As we laid hands on the child, I found myself suddenly filled with an overwhelming and inescapable confidence that he would be healed. It was totally unexpected. So I would interject in this testimony is, obviously he had prayed before and this hadn't happened.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Not wanting to be presumptuous, I tried to doubt, but couldn't. I prayed confidently, filled with faith, unshakable and undeniable. I was absolutely sure. I said to God, "Lord, you really are going to heal him." Although the family left the room unsure, I was absolutely certain God had healed him. The baby was totally healed, and in the next couple of days, the doctors agreed. He is a happy young man today. Now, there's a testimony from the mother. This happened in 1990, I think it was, and there's a testimony from the mother in 2000, kind of explaining from her side what had occurred. And she goes on to explain how having left there, okay, and at that point in time, seeing her son from the standpoint of how others were seeing him, and realizing he was a little bit blue, and that the following day, after being prayed for by the pastor, the blueness had gone away. Now, this is before she's gone to the doctor, and the doctor's done the tests and things like that, but she saw a result overnight of blue, not blue. So she had an inkling as to what has occurred.
Yeah, she also said, you know, "Oh, he's been such a good baby. He slept a lot. He wasn't demanding, you know,
right.
Just like you had said with Jonathan, you know."
Right.
And all of a sudden it dawned on her, "Wait a second, this isn't right," you know.
Right. Well, that reminds me of a testimony Brother Joseph shared. When he was young, he had some kind of very serious sickness, And an old brother in the church came and prayed for him, and then said to his parents, he will be well tomorrow. And the next day he was over, he was well.
Right.
I forget what the sickness was, but that was the gist.
So yeah. There's a faith that is manifest in the right now. This is probably what Paul spoke about in 1 Corinthians 12:9, when he spoke about the gift of faith, or when James wrote in James 5:15, the prayer offered in faith. The Spirit brings conviction in these prayers that God is doing this right now. This is more than believing God can heal. It is a God-given conviction of faith for healing right now. I had another testimony I wanted to share. This is Derek Prince's testimony about how he was healed. And this brings up another verse, which says in Proverbs 4:20-22, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to all that find them, and health, medicine, to all their flesh." So this is Derek Prince's testimony. "So I just laid there in my bed day after day, wondering what my future would be. And I'll tell you, you spend a year in hospital, it seems like a very, very long time. I had newly come into a personal relationship with the Lord and also received the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But I was very, very ignorant. I didn't have any background of Bible knowledge. I just had a Bible, and I had nowhere else to turn for help at that time but to God in the Bible. And so I began to search the scriptures to see if they had anything to say about my physical condition. I really had plenty of time, since laying in bed didn't give you very many options. And one day I came across this verse in the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, verses 20 through 22. It was the last verse that got my attention, 'Health to all your flesh.' I thought to myself, 'All their flesh means there's no room for sickness.' And then I happened to look at the margin in the Bible and saw health can be translated medicine. And I saw God was promising me something that would be medicine that would bring me health to all my flesh. And I thought, that is exactly what I need. Well, I had received all my medical attention that was available and it hadn't helped me, so I had to make a decision. I decided I was going to take God's word as my medicine. And so that was a crucial decision in my life. I'm going to take God's word as medicine for my physical body. And when I made that decision, the Lord spoke to me, not audibly, but very, very clearly. When the doctors give medicine, the directions for taking it are on the bottle. And if you follow the directions, you get the results. Having been a medical orderly in the past, I remembered that medicine was usually taken 3 times a day, morning, noon, and night. So that's what I proposed to do. The directions were to include, 1, attend to my words. 2, incline thy ear unto my sayings. 3, let them not depart from your eyes. And 4, keep them in the midst of your heart. So I realized if I was to receive the benefit, I would need to follow these directions. Now, I can't go into detail all that followed, but I just want to say that I began to do just that. I just bowed my head before the Bible every day, 3 times a day after meals, because this is how people take medicine. I said, God, you've said that these words of yours will be medicine to all my flesh, and I'm taking them as my medicine now. In the name of Jesus, and within a few months, I'm taking them as my medicine now in the name of Jesus. And within a few months, I was totally healed. God's medicine, taken that way, achieved the result God had promised. I was totally healthy in every part of my body." and he leaves the hospital. But he talks about in his extended testimony that the doctor said more or less given up.
And that's Derek Prince himself?
Yes.
Yeah. That's Derek Prince.
That's when he was in the army in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in the British army, and they had put him in the hospital because of the fact that this was debilitating
skin disease.
Debilitating disease.
And he had fought in the Battle of El Alamein, which the British won. That was the high point of Rommel's push across northern
North
Africa. They turned him back. But then he was, from the desert conditions, he got this incurable skin condition, and that's when this happened. They sent him, I think, back to Jerusalem for the hospital.
Uh-huh. Bill has in the past suggested to patients that when they take their medicine, they do a little prayer first.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Pray over the medicine.
Mm-hmm. So I'd like to kind of widen this a little bit because you're talking about healing, but I think it could be widened to all of our needs, whether they're financial or emotional or family and so on. And we can have the attitude of God wants me to bear through this, just suffer through it and not expect that God's going to do something to change it. Whether it's health or place, maybe you're losing your place to live. Now, where we're really desperate, we tend to cry out more. And where we think, well, I can bear this, we tend to bear it more.
It's hard at times to know which it is.
Right, but I think we should always say, Lord, I'm willing to bear this, but what is your provision? Right, and show me your provision. And I think as people get older, a lot of them get, if they're Christians, they get stronger faith that God's going to provide my need. Just an example, there's a brother I knew who needed a new roof but didn't have the money. And I mean, the porch part was leaking. It was serious, you know. And he was praying, Lord, provide this. And somehow he came across a group that did roofs for older people who couldn't afford roofs. And they came through and they did the roof for him. Now, I mean, that's kind of unexpected, but because we don't expect it, we don't ask.
Mm-hmm. It's harder to ask for healing as I grow older.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that might be true, too.
Yeah, because you mentally think, okay, I'm getting older. This is to be expected.
One thing
but I don't think we should default to sustain and endure, which is your mom's.
Yeah.
Sustain and endure is good as far as it goes, but it leaves God out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says, well, God's working on my character. Well, that's true, and amen to that. But let's leave room and expectation for God to do the supernatural, like the coin in the fish's mouth or the miraculous catch of fish. And if he chooses not to do that, then we're still good, you know. But
yeah, I think I was always kind of like, how do you pray for something? You know, is it okay to pray? And the feeling that I've always gone by is you pray for what you desire until the Lord says no, or, you know, this is. So if you want a healing, then you pray for and ask for a healing, you know. And then if the Lord says, no, I'm not going to heal you right now, then, like you said, you endure or you continue to ask because, you know, like the widow, you know, you ask.
Don't give up your joy like this morning.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
We were just on a VN team, and I was struck. You know, VN weekend is not just for the girls. It's for the whole team.
Mm-hmm.
And I was struck with that there were real needs on the team. One that came up several times for different people on the team was unsaved adult children.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases, it was the parents came to the Lord late. So then, now they're following the Lord, but the kids weren't raised in the nurture of the Lord. So that's the kind of prayer that God, I think, would delight to answer. We should ask for it with faith. And I'm praying for those people who brought that up. I'm still carrying it in my heart. There's some health needs that were shared on the weekend, and I'm praying for those. So I just want to encourage us, you know, like, it's like the Elijah and the widow. He said, get all your neighbor's vessels, and then take your oil and pour it, and then when all the vessels are filled, the oil stopped flowing, and then sold the oil to meet the need. Well, it's a beautiful thing, and she had a need. She had to pay off her creditor. But the other beautiful thing is that she had to get other people's vessels. She had to get, she didn't have enough vessels of her own. And so God wants us just to be bigger in faith, pray for other people's needs. Like you were talking about the coral, they're all interconnected. Right. And
can we pray for the pain that Muriel's in?
Yes.
While we're all gathered.
Pray for
them. Thank you, Lord. We know that you have compassion for Muriel, Lord. We lift her up to you even now, Lord Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
That you would relieve the pain that she is going through.
Yes.
Jesus.
Yes.
To your glory, Lord. And even beyond that, to the source of the pain, Lord.
Yes,
Jesus. That you'd bring healing, Lord.
Yes.
Yes.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Lord, we pray for a miracle, Lord.
Yes,
Lord. That you would do a regeneration of her joints, Lord, and her body, Lord. You know what needs to happen, Lord, for this pain to be gone. We ask for it in Jesus' name, Lord. You would do a work here that you would strengthen us, Lord, in our faith, that we could ask for more than what we could ask, Lord. Even think of, Lord, that you would do that for her in this way, Lord, and give her the strength and the wellness in her body, Lord.
Thank you.
Only you can do it. We ask for it in Jesus' name. By your stripes we are healed, Lord. We ask for that.
We thank you for your gift of healing that you do. Your spirit does move among us. I just invite you, Holy Spirit, to bring healing to Muriel's back and her hips, and just pray that you would pour out your spirit upon her.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yes.
In Jesus' name.
Yes, so you would move in power.
Oh God, I'm reminded of Dorcas and when Peter came and everyone brought to him the things that she had made and the things that she had, stories of what she'd done. Lord, I just bring that to you now. How Muriel has been a servant to those around her. There are many jackets that she's made, many people that she's comforted. And I pray, Lord, that you would heal her, bring her to life, that she might be able to continue in that ministry of service, Lord Jesus, to the family, to friends, to Bruce, to her children, her grandchildren, Lord, to the animals. Lord, raise her up, we pray.
Yes.
Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you for
thank you,
Lord. Continued
healing,
Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Continued healing, Jesus.
Yes.
Hold complete.
That you would loosen, Lord, what is bound up.
Yes.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. too.
That's good.
It feels good to go over it all again.
Yeah. Well, and seeing it in writing and kind of
brought
it together more. I've always had a problem with the whole concept of, are you a prayer warrior? You know, it's kind of like, just never sat.
Well, I would always hope that would be.
Yeah, but it just never sat right with me, you know, that our prayer for others should be like a title.
Okay.
I am a prayer warrior.
Yeah.
You know, kind of, I don't know. I don't know if it's ever bothered anybody else, but I like the way you share things better. It's not the degree of our faith necessarily. It's God's work, and we're just being obedient to do what He shows us to do.
I think the idea of the manifestation of the Spirit coming in different forms, you know, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, healing, faith, that, you know, the idea of Him just kind of imparting through the Spirit what we need for them,
right,
for right now, you know,
right,
and that those spiritual gifts are for the building up of the body,
right,
mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm,
to encourage, comfort, and what's the other one? You know, John.
Have you found when you were studying, did you kind of think at all about being filled with the Spirit? I'm thinking of people who are struggling with faith, you know, I'm thinking of, and how much of a component would it be, or is it necessary or not necessary, for them to have received more of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being able to walk in it, you know?
We were in a church that didn't walk in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That was when Bill was in residency. He didn't go to the church very often because he was working, you know,
mm-hmm,
so many hours. But there was a young woman in the church who had incapacitating back pain, and she went to the elders and asked them to pray for her. And they like went and talked about it to each other. Said, oh, I guess there's nothing wrong with doing that. What do you think? Should we do it?
It's the Bible.
Sure.
I guess we better.
Yeah. Okay. So anointed her with oil and prayed for her, and she got up and walked out of the room, and they're like, whoa. I was waiting.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest destroyers of that argument that he's not healing, you know, that he's healing was to have someone be healed.
Yes.
And I think that the Lord uses that to reach out to people, you know,
mm-hmm,
to unbelievers, you know. I remember reading a book one time about Jehovah's Witnesses, and they had gotten prayer for their daughter who was very ill, and she was healed. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses were like, well, they kicked him out of the church, and, you know, that's not allowed, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, I think that that's a way for the Lord to reach people,
right?
You know,
right,
and bring them in. So, Evan, you're losing your water bottle.
The other thing that struck me in some of these examples is like the lady who came for her daughter, and she said, you know, even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall under the table, and Jesus said, when great is your faith, be it unto you as you have said. But the daughter wasn't present.
Right.
And there were other examples like that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're aware of people with great needs who are far away from us. I'm thinking of Lauren.
Yeah.
So.
Lauren?
O'Hearn.
From VN.
Yeah, she's in VN.
She has cancer.
Cancer. And
she's going through chemo and lost her hair.
So we shouldn't let the fact that we're not physically present discourage us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and the other thing that we didn't mention was that, you know, sometimes, like Paul and Epaphroditus, he was ill to the point of death, and the Lord had mercy on Paul, you know, so he wouldn't have sorrow upon sorrow, that one.
Mm-hmm.
But that, you know, it's sometimes it doesn't, sometimes it's not, we're used for others, and we, mm-hmm. you know, it's sovereign. God
right.
is sovereign. You know, we can't always, it's right. not like Paul had the gift of healing, and so therefore everybody he prayed for always got healed, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
It's
we know he told,
dispensed as we need it.
Right. We know he told Timothy to take some wine for his stomach
right.
instead of just snapping his fingers and healing.
Yeah, right, exactly.
yeah, and sometimes on this teaching, people make it that, you know, God's will is to always heal and everybody will be healed. And back
right.
to what you said about if you weren't healed, there's a failure
right.
on our part.
Right.
So those are errors,
mm-hmm.
but it's also an error to kind of be weak in faith and not expect, not ask, just say, well, we just have to learn to bear it.
And he does say that in some places he didn't heal people because of their lack of faith.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right, Nazareth was
what
one.
What is that?
Unbelief.
Well, in Nazareth, they said, well, we know all about this guy, and says he could not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief.
Of
and
unbelief.
That's when he said, a prophet has no honor in his own country.
So it's, but unbelief is different from not having enough faith, right, in that case?
Yeah.
yeah. And, you know, it says that we have to believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. You know, if you don't
right.
believe that he is... You know, they didn't believe that Jesus could be anything special or, you know, could certainly not be God, you know, because, you know, so.
Because that's, I think, one of the verses that people want to say, no, you've got to have faith. You've got to have enough faith. And I think, as I'm thinking about it now with you guys, I'm thinking that unbelief is not the same as
mm-hmm.
And it's also the attitude. I mean, that there was the father whose son was ill, and he's like, you know, Lord, help my unbelief. You
yeah,
know,
says, I believe.
Okay,
help.
So
I believe. Help my unbelief. You know, if I have. So, it's the underlying heart attitude,
yeah.
kind of like what he was talking about with Saul and David earlier, yesterday.
Sometimes unbelief can be more of a strong anti-belief. Like,
right.
right.
I believe that this can't happen versus
yes.
I just don't have faith, but
right.
Lord, I'd love it if you do it.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
that's a good
mm-hmm.
point.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, you know, overcoming unbelief is also part of that obedience thing. You know, God has said... to pray for this,
mm-hmm.
you know, to pray for healing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may not feel like we have enough faith or, you
mm-hmm.
know, a big faith, but we can just obey.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'll obey and pray. And the Lord honors that,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I have a question. So I know some people say that it's always God's will to heal, but they also say that it's not a lack of faith that you're not healed, and I'm not sure how you can... Like, I was talking to someone about this recently, and they were saying the Bible says that it's God's will to heal, that it's his desire for us to be healed. So I pray in that way, even though I... It's not necessarily always my experience.
Right.
But, like, when I think of that, I'm like, okay, well, it is ultimately that we would be healed and we'll be with him forever.
Mm-hmm.
But... that's not necessarily going to be healed on this earth all the time. Not that you shouldn't pray for it. But I get a little confused when... because I feel like when people say it's God's will that you be healed, they're not usually thinking someday in heaven.
But
if it doesn't happen
the
here.
The Pentecostal strong position on this is that everyone that came to Jesus for healing got healed.
Right.
And then they say, well, you know, therefore God wants to heal everybody all the time. And that leaves out in my mind... the fact that God was attesting to Jesus' divinity through the healing ministry. So he is confirming or attesting to Jesus' divinity. So my own take on that is that there'll be times we pray and for whatever reason we don't see a healing, but we shouldn't stop praying. We should.
Right.
Yeah, I think one of the things that I have found over the years is when I pray, if I mature, I think less about getting the answer to prayer and more about waiting upon God as I pray. Mm-hmm. We pray because of what God does when we pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the first thing he does is change us,
yeah.
He deals with us. And so I have come to the conviction that whenever I pray for healing, God is touched. And that's what's important.
Yeah.
And he touches us, he wants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But there's always a blessing. And we had a healing, and we've done about five healing services over the years. We haven't seen anything dramatic happen, but every time people have walked out of those meetings,
mm-hmm.
they've come out blessed. Mm-hmm. And I certainly have. So, and it's been very interesting to see that.
I think it's also true to say that if you didn't pray for healing, you're not going to see it. You know what I mean? There's no expectation that the Lord would move.
Yeah. It's like the saying, it says that, you know, I don't want to claim credit, but it seems like I see more miracles when I pray than when I don't.
Right.
Well,
what
do you guys think about praying that, though? Because, like, I hear people say, it is God's will that you be healed, so we're going to pray that you're healed.
I think it's God's ultimately
will that we should pray.
Right.
His kingdom come is no more sorrow, no more
right.
No more pain.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can pray for that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that
15.
It's going to happen right now. And God is sovereign. He sees the big picture.
Yeah.
He may see that there's other things that need to be dealt with in your life, you know, that need to be dealt with before the healing can come. Or maybe he has a purpose in that, in not healing at this point.
A verse that comes to my mind now is that he desires that all men come to the knowledge of the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That he desires for all men to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
Is everyone going to be saved? And but that's his heart's desire.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I think I pray for people to be saved. I pray for praying for Bobby for
mm-hmm.
you know 50 years.
Yeah,
but and I'm still praying for him to be saved.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking about it now, thinking
mm-hmm.
I have some thoughts
yeah.
about it. So and I think too that in that circumstance sometimes what I can do is just appreciate how the people are trying. You know, that they're trying to act according to their faith. And, you know, I don't think I can't think of the right word. You know, boom, 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 these are the words we're going to say, and it's going to happen.
Yeah, magic formula.
Yeah, formula.
I think, though, if you pray that way, if you're praying for somebody who's... I feel like you can be a stumbling block to that person you're praying for.
Could.
If you word things that way.
I've seen times where it feels less like a prayer than a prophecy or
yeah.
something,
yeah.
and then
right.
it doesn't happen, and you're like, okay, is this false prophecy?
This must be a lack of faith on your part. But it's, yeah.
Sorry, I'll leave. Just practical. We're going to start eating.
Okay.
And the kids are up there, so.
Just one more example.
I'll go up there and pray
yeah.
so we can eat.
Johnny Erickson.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure people prayed for her healing.
Long time.
And I think God has had a purpose that been a tremendous blessing.
I think that you know, when I had that mass on my ovary, and I prayed and I asked the Lord for a word, you know, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of the Lord, and he led me to Isaiah 54, I think it is. And, you know, it through that, he calmed my fears, but he also said, you know, you're going to go through this, but it's not going to, you know, they will assemble against you, but it's not because of me. And the Lord worked great faith in my heart through that. I knew I had to go through the surgery, but then it wasn't cancer or anything like that, you know.
Much to your doctor's surprise, much to the surgeon's surprise.
So
yeah. the Lord did do something very mighty there.
But, you know, but I think what I got out of it even more was that the faith, that he had given me a word and I stood on that word, and that word wasn't, you're going to be miraculously healed. It's that, you know, just like Paul, yeah, I know I'm going to chains in Jerusalem, but this is where the Lord's taking me, and he's going to be with me in that, you know?
Yeah, I really
that's a bad example. That's theologically wrong.
Okay.
He was disobeying the Lord.
When he did the guy, when he sent Timothy in?
No, when Paul went to Jerusalem, he disobeyed the Lord.
In what sense?
No, he was told not to go.
Oh, by the
prophet, and he allowed a sacrifice to be offered for himself.
That was the one that I wondered about, but
yeah. So there's a very clear teaching on that. If you're interested,
I've heard that.
Yeah. Elizabeth Elliot said that was her proof text for going back to Ecuador. And sometimes the advice you get isn't really what God wants you to do.
I don't see a connection, but
everyone told her don't go back to Ecuador.
But the Lord
child.
Told her to go, and so
yeah.
She went.
Yeah.
Right, but that's different. It said through the Spirit, Agabus told Paul, don't go. And Paul went anyway.
And what he said is that he felt that what the Lord told Agabus is, you're going to go in chains. And then what.
But that's not what the Scripture says. Scripture says,
the Lord told him.
Spoke by the Spirit that he should not go. So. Now, he went because he wanted his countrymen to be brought into the gospel, and he had collected this big collection, and to some extent through pressure on the Corinthians, to collect this money so that they could say, look, the believers are coming to your relief, and he hoped that it would change their hearts. So he went there, and then when he got there in Jerusalem, the Judaizers in the church said, well, you know, they've heard that you're saying that you don't keep the law. So take these men and shave your head and have a vow and let there be an offering for you in the temple so they'll see that's not true. And that's when he got arrested. And that's when he had crossed the line on what God wanted him to do.
So... I think that when we get black and white about things, there's problems. You know, black and white as a parent, we're going to do this now, you're not going to provide, you're going to do this, this is right, this is wrong. There's a, you're going to be healed, or you don't have a faith. But when we try and be formulaic, it's problematic.
Right.
And I think our desire is for this to be simplified, for sure. Yes.
I think we can be black and white from the standpoint of saying we should have compassion.
Amen.
We should pray.
Amen.
God has told us that we should pray.
Yeah.
And that we can pray for healing, but we can't say, well, then because I prayed for healing, that person's going to be healed.
Yeah.
But we've done the right thing by having compassion to pray for somebody.
I'm reading it.
Unless the Lord says to you, do not pray for them.
While we were staying for many days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea.
No, it's not Agabus. I was wrong on that. But it is in here. It says he was told by the Spirit that he should not go.
Yeah, okay. I've had a teacher.
Because Agabus says, if you go, you're going to be bound.
Right.
And then all the people say, don't go.
You want to look a little earlier than that.
Okay.
It's before Agabus. Which chapter?
Oh, yes.
Acts 21.
Chapter 4. It's in verse 4. And through the Spirit, they were telling Paul not to go to Jerusalem.
Yeah.
Those are the seven.
Okay.
The seven. Agabus says is
you're going to be bound.
There is going to get
Right.
Arrested.
Every day.